Welcome to the Dangerous Darren Show right here on Adobe Radio. T.S., upon listening to that drum intro, do you have more or less respect for me as a drummer?
Well, my respect for you as a drummer can't get any more, but...
After you heard the shredding, because I mean, the last couple weeks I've been playing some really interesting kits on the Roland V drums, which are awesome, and I'm not getting them back. Hey, Roland, if you're listening, you're not getting them back.
Last week's intro was really kind of trippy, very electronic.
It was, absolutely, and the last few weeks have been a little odd, but this week I kept it big and booming metal drum sound with some fills of metal fills.
Well, you got to give the people what they want, and that's metal, big metal fills.
People want metal drum fills. I'm giving it to them. So basically what you're saying is, yes, you have more respect for me.
Yes, I do.
I'm a pretty okay drummer. Yeah. It's a Dangerous Darren Show, Adobe Radio. Hit us up on Twitter and on Instagram at DangerousD_show. That's DangerousD_show. On Twitter, TS is at Burn H. Wood Burn, and I'm at Darren99. TS is also on Instagram at Linus DeMilo. Linus, DeMilo, Linus DeMilo. And I'm just at Darren Pfeiffer. Also, follow us on Facebook / The Dangerous Darren Show. Also, thanks to our friends at Roland for the use of the V-drums you heard off the top there. Hit them up on Twitter as well, at Roland_US. SE Electronics give us these awesome X1 microphones you're hearing us on. It's a Neve company. They're the best mics in the world, hands down. I mean, no diss on Shure or Sennheiser, but these are the best, and they are so nice. At SE_Electronics, and also follow me on my other stuff, at King's Corner 99, corner with a K. It is the year of our Lord, June the 6th, 2016.
What happened to May, man? It's gone.
The gray May is gone. Now we're sunny June.
It's beautiful.
May was kind of... Now we're in June, and June 6th, and it's beautiful. It's sunny.
It's almost today. Summertime nice. In L.A.
Episode number 72 right here on the Dangerous Darren Show. Thanks for tuning in. I got a great show, T.S. As always, all our shows are awesome.
Of course.
I mean, some are better than others. But they're all awesome. Kevin Lyman, creator of the Warped Tour, It's Not Dead Festival, and a bunch of other stuff. He's been doing it for about 350 years in the punk scene.
Yes, he has.
And he's an amazing guy. And he always has time for me whenever I call him or email him or text him. He's like, yeah, I'll come on your show. It'll be fun. And we're talking about punk rock in general, how to be relevant, booking the Warped Tour, because Warped Tour has changed. All those years have gone by, and it's a challenge every year to stay on top of the curves and the trends. He talks about that. He also talks about the It's Not Dead Festival coming to San Bernardino later this year, and we're going to be talking to him about that. And we'll be playing some music from one of the headliners, the Dropkick Murphys, our friends.
Yes.
The Dropkick Murphys. Can't go wrong. I don't think I've ever listened to the Dropkick Murphys, TS, without a drink in my hand.
So, yeah, I think it's time.
It's time. So, but and we got to talk about this beer, too, by the way, that we're reviewing. The Motorhead Amplified is the name of the company out of San Diego. You want to give that a crack?
Yeah, let's crack it open.
That sounds like Lemmy. Perfect.
Oh, that's foamy.
Yeah, that's what she said. Yeah, give me a little taste of that. Here we go. It's Amplified Ale, and it's the Motorhead a beer. And the can cover is just a beautiful piece of artwork, pretty much exemplifying everything Motorhead's done over the years with the Road Crew, Orgasmatron, and punks, and metalheads, and Lemmy's in it. And
oh, yeah. I believe he's throwing up on this picture.
He probably is. But they gave us a six-pack, and it's called Born to Lose Ale.
Born to
it's
Lose
an IPA.
IPA.
IPA, yeah. So it's not an ale. It's an IPA.
I think it's pretty strong.
It is really strong, but I'm going to drink it.
Yeah,
because
top me off, man.
Lemmy tells me to jump. I say, how high? All right, if Lemmy said, there. If he was alive and Lemmy was in the room and he goes, Darren, kill that guy. I'd go, how?
How would you like him?
You want me to shoot him? Knife him? Poison him? How, Lemmy? You are God. Lemmy is God. And he's got a statue at the Rainbow Bar and Grill. On the Sunset Strip, and as he's right there immortalized in bronze forever and ever, right near his favorite seat.
And his beer from Amplified Ales is 6.5% alcohol. So it's
we're going to be destroyed.
Yeah, it's got a punch. It's got a punch.
To Lemmy, to the good Lemmy. Folks at Amplified Ales in San Diego, and to Motorhead, and let's give this a shot.
Cheers.
Mm. Ooh, that's got a kick.
That is bold.
It's bold and loud, like Motorhead.
Yes.
Actually, it is. It's exactly like Motorhead. It's big and bold and loud. Awesome. Love it.
Every hop louder than every other hop.
I've had two sips and I'm already drunk. How was your weekend? What'd you end up doing?
That was pretty chill, man. It was a pretty shitty week.
Yeah. Yeah, some tough stuff went down in your life. Sorry, man.
Been pretty emo. Lost a good friend, Joff, this week. It was it's been a rough week.
Sorry.
Taken before his time.
What a kick in the fucking cunt that is, right?
Yeah.
Fuck, man.
So I think we should do a little toast to Joff.
Should we do some booze or should we go to the Dangerous Darren bar?
We should actually go to the Dangerous Darren bar and do a shot for him.
What do you think? I got Jaeger. What was he a fan of?
Whiskey or Jaeger. We could do some Jaeger. You got some whiskey?
Would you like it? I got whiskey. Let's do some Jaeger. It's mixing whiskey.
Let's do some Jaeger. I think he would approve.
All right. Definitely. Can you hold on to fort?
I can. I can do this. Well, let's just say that Joff was always down to party. He had a smile on his face at all times. He was one of the most positive people you could ever meet. And, you know, we miss you, brother. We miss you. So let's do a little... We got some Jaeger.
Got a little bottle of Jaeger.
Yeah.
Do you want the skull shot glass? And I'll take the regular old, nothing fancy shot glass.
Take a little shot of the skull.
He was your boy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Let's cap that up. More. Yeah, right, I think you do too. No, you need more. Whoa, holy shit, dude. You're not driving home, are you?
Hell no. All right, cheers to Joff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
Of course it's cold. It's German. You seen that commercial?
Yes, I have.
Skulls are hot in that commercial.
German girls, man. Blondes, blue eyes.
Yeah, they're a mess. that's good stuff. So you had a shitty week. But your weekend, did you have any time to?
Yeah, man. I
forget about it.
I had to decompress a little bit. We watched some hockey. I had some pool time in.
Yeah, you got a pool. Nice.
You know, did some skating. Cleared the old head.
Smoking,
dude. I went to the movies too, so we can do our Wonder Woman review later.
Yeah, we should. It's on my list here, and we're going to talk about it for sure. My friend Mike was in town, my friend Mike Rice, and he stayed with me for a week. One of my dear friends from Toronto, he runs a radio promotions company called RPM, and he takes singles and records and he puts them on air across Canada, whether it's terrestrial, digital, streaming, or college radio. And he makes a pretty good living doing this, and he's a good friend of mine. I worked at the Edge radio station with him for a while, and he was in town, and he stopped at MedMen, I think your competition, and he picked up a bunch of stuff, and he left. He's like, "Hey, the red bag that's on your table in your studio, it's got a bunch of stuff. You can just either throw it away." I go, "I'm not throwing it away. I'm gonna give it to TS. I don't know what to do with it."
Oh yeah, I got some blunt wraps. I got a joint. I got a couple of containers with some flour in there.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we're going to roll up a blunt later.
All right, good stuff. Jury duty. I have jury duty coming up.
Really? You're not blowing it off? Not,
well, yeah, I am. I've delayed it 3 times, and you can only delay it once. I've somehow sugar-talked these girls on the other end to delaying it. I said, "I'm flying for work," which is a true story. And they're like, she's like, "Well, you know, you've already delayed it, and I really shouldn't." And I'm like... And I wanted to say, "But you're gonna, right, baby?" And she was like, "Oh, wait, well, if you're, you know, what band are you in?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm in a band." "Oh, that's great, cool, okay, well, yeah, we'll delay it one more time, but this will be the last time." And I'm like, "Yeah, probably not. I'm gonna delay it till I die." And when I actually have to go in, I'm going in with a mohawk.
Yep.
I'm gonna find a way to get a
mohawk wig.
Yeah, mohawk dick. And then. And I'm gonna wear a ripped Lakers jersey. My tattoos are gonna show. I'm literally gonna pour whiskey on me, like just like perfume whiskey, all over me. And I'll show up and they'll be like, "Sir, are you drunk?" And I'm like, "No, but I've been drinking. Is that illegal?" I'm over 21. "Sir, please leave." "Okay, bye."
Oh man,
I have a Donald Trump shirt on.
I've actually done it twice. I've gone through the system twice.
Have you been kicked out?
I went all the way to the interview process, and then I got kicked out. I was like the last juror to get kicked out.
Did you try to get kicked out?
No.
Did you go wearing
I just told my story. Like, they asked questions about like, have you ever had any bad police encounters? And I'm like, "Yeah, man, I have. So as a matter of fact, blah 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 blah." And they're like, "Okay, thank you, sir." And then they were like, they picked all the jurors, and there was like one more to pick, and they excused me. Good. So I made it.
Well, I'll just tell them the truth. I beat up a cop in Pittsburgh once.
And they're like, okay.
Can I go home? Fuck. I know what your duty is in America, and I get it. But there are plenty of people in Los Angeles that would love to do this. I'm not one of them.
And
you see those people, and they're like, oh, I love
and they
this.
Do. They're like, I've been through this several times. They keep calling me, and I keep going and getting picked. So you never know.
Yeah.
I mean, also, do you want those people really to decide your fate? I'd rather have you decide my fate.
Thanks, buddy. It could happen. It could. You never know. In speaking of Trump, we got to get, it seems like every time we do a show, we talk about something stupid this guy does. But when he provides you with such fodder, every week in and week out, he either says something stupid or does something stupid. It's just easy. It's low-hanging fruit, really, it is. Donald Trump says that the U.S. Is going to back out of the Paris climate meetings because, for whatever reason, they're not going to go.
Yeah.
What an idiot.
This is the worst thing you could possibly do. Like, all these other countries are on board. Like, I don't know, 90 other countries are on board saying, let's do something about this.
Yeah.
And
and the biggest country in the planet, the most powerful country in the planet, the one that uses the most energy and can make the most impact says, now we're cool.
Yeah, even China is on board.
And they're dicks.
And they're gross polluters. They're like grossly polluting everything, as well as America. But why is he pulling out? Okay, here's some good. The good thing is that cities, senators, mayors, governors, all of these people in America are coming together and saying, you know what, we're going to just follow the climate Paris climate agreement. Mm-hmm. And
whether he's on board or not.
Yeah, whether Trump's on board or not, whether he signs it or not, we're just going to follow this because it's the right thing to do.
Exactly. And I've been seeing those videos too from mayors, governors, and I've seen it, and it's like it warms my heart, like that the country's kind of coming together despite our president being a total and utter idiot and douchebag. I mean, someone please just, never mind, I'm not gonna say it, but just fucking go away.
We just need a couple more Republicans on board for the impeachment process. There's already a few. We just need a couple more.
I think the wheels are slowly starting to churn on the Republican side. The Dems are in full speed.
Yeah.
They're spinning. They're like, fuck, this guy's out of control.
It takes the Republicans a few more years to like really grasp.
Well, that's because they're stupid. That's easy. That's the dumbest fuck. I saw Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I did too.
What'd you think?
She is sexy.
I don't know her name. We should look it up.
I did.
But wow, what a fucking incredibly well done movie. Not going to ruin it, but it starts off with where she came from for a good while. And then she goes to Earth, the Earth realm, to fight a god. And that's what she wanted to do. And she got caught up in World War II. And she's fucking tough as shit. A Wonder Woman in the back in the days, like when we were in the 80s, Linda Carter. She was pretty cool.
She was.
But this Wonder Woman is fucking badass.
Total badass. Those fight scenes were amazing. A little bit CGI for me. Gal Gadot.
Yeah, smoking hot.
Super sexy.
Super pretty.
Diana Prince.
Yeah, not like stunning, but just super uber pretty.
Those eyes.
Oh, and her hair. Her body.
Wow. I mean,
she's just stunning.
The whole island of Paradise Island.
Yeah. I wanted to go there. It's funny that those guys mentioned. They're like, a woman? An island full of women? How do we get there? No men in sight.
There's a lot of sexual innuendo. It's kind of like more,
on the
more,
boat.
More family.
We're talking about sex on the
yeah.
boat.
Yeah, it's a little more family friendly. I'd like to see like a darker one, like a Dark Knight style like Wonder Woman.
Well, I think the next one, there's a League of Justice movie in the previews. One of them was about the League of Justice and how they're going to, like Aquaman. Did you see the Aquaman guy?
No.
He's the guy who plays Drago in Game of Thrones. Like a big, tall guy, muscle guy with the long hair.
Okay.
He's going to be Aquaman.
Okay.
The Flash is in the Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. They're starting the League of Justice.
Oh, yeah.
Remember those cartoons?
Yeah.
Justice League.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome.
Back at the Hall of Justice.
They sit there and they're like, what do we do? Well, Aquaman's been out of water for 10 hours. We got to get him in a pool.
He's just sitting there in a jacuzzi.
Hey,
some mermaids.
He's got a drink in his hand. He's got a Motorhead amplified ale in his hand. I loved it. Did you understand the ending? That was her brother.
That was her brother?
That wasn't Ares.
No,
that was her brother. She was Aphrodite, the god of love.
Not her father.
No. No, that was her brother. She realized that the good memory said, I'm not your enemy. And she goes, sorry, brother. And she attacked him because all he wanted was war. He didn't want the humans to take the world. The humans had taken the world from the gods. And they were like, no, they must die. They're terrible people. But she had saw the love. How the Chris Pine character sacrificed himself.
Yeah.
I'm ruining the movie for everybody.
What's up?
It's a plane.
Spoiler.
She saw the good. Like Superman sees the good in humans. You know, same there.
So love conquers. Love conquers all?
Is that
our overall theme here?
I didn't want it to end. I thought it was great. I was like, keep it. I could watch her all day long. She's so fucking cool. But she's also immortal because she had that job in the museum. And she was
which brings us back to the present time.
Yeah.
So a lot of them, all these superheroes are immortal. So
and in the beginning, Bruce Wayne sent her that picture. So I'd love to know your story.
Yeah.
He figured it out. He's like, okay, something's going on with this chick. There's a picture of her in 1940, whatever it is. And now it's 2017 and she's still alive working at the Louvre. In Paris? Like, yeah. he definitely, Superman, or Batman wants to know what's up.
She's no longer at the IADC as the 70s Wonder Woman, well, she's or 80s Wonder Woman.
She's a god. She's going to live forever. It was just a fantastic movie. I absolutely loved it. Some birthdays to get to for June the 6th. Robert Englund is 69.
Freddie.
Yep.
Yeah.
He's 69 now.
He was also in V. The 1980s
alien movie.
Yeah. TV series.
Yeah. That was great. 80s. Yeah, he's 69. I can't believe that. Tom Araya, bass player, singer for Slayer, is 55 today.
Damn. Metal's getting old.
It's not Angel of Death. It's Angel of AIDS.
Oh, no.
I meant not AIDS. Age. Oh. But AIDS is pretty funny. Angel of AIDS.
Oh, my God.
Monarch to the kingdom of the... senior discount. Infamous. Sweet parking. Angel of age. Paul Giamatti, 49 years old. Great actor. Amazing actor. He's been in a million things. And one of the best guitar players to ever walk the earth, Steve Vai, 56.
Where's he from?
American.
Okay, good.
I'm pretty sure he's American. And the porn birthdays. You ready for this, TS?
All right, I'm listening.
I know this is a. I know you know this girl. I know for a fact. I know you've mentioned her. Your gal, Cinnabuns.
Yeah. I like my girls BBW.
BUNZ. Cinnabuns. Two words. She has got a big, she's beautiful black booty.
Huge booty.
I mean, it's just rocking. You literally could serve a meal on it for a family of five.
You could definitely set your beer on it.
You can set your bar on it. she's been in some classics. I mean, really, like classic black porn movies, like Black Vixens, Black Ass Anal Heaven 2.
Ooh, one of my faves.
Jumbo Asses. What's another one? Violate My Black Ass 3. Black MILF Ass Fucker.
I only saw the first two.
Yeah, the first two were good. I didn't see the third one yet. Big Old Black Asses. And my favorite, Black Tushy Pink Pussy.
Oh, yes. This is true. This is true.
Yeah, she's it's her birthday today. Happy birthday, Cinnabuns.
Happy birthday.
To Cinnabuns.
You've been in the game a long time.
She's been doing it. Oh, can you imagine getting your hands on that big old thing?
Man. She started doing webcam stuff.
You'd spank it, and she's like, I don't feel anything. She's like, get a hammer.
I know that ass is real, because when I hit it, it bounced back.
It hits you. It actually punches you in the face.
Punches you back. It has its own zip code.
It does. Yeah. It's got an appeal box. And it's own web address.
If you live there, would you say it's an ass state?
Probably. Oh, Cinnabons. Hey, on that note, let's change the topic real quick and move on to Kevin Lyman. Everyone knows who Kevin Lyman is. If you don't, he created the Warped Tour. He created It's Not Dead. He's working with John Reese and doing a bunch of other festivals, like the Monster Energy Tour. He's just got his hands in so many things. He's an artist developer. He's a booking agent. He's a tour creator. He's kind of done it all. And he's a really good friend of mine. And he came on the show to talk about the new It's Not Dead Festival, which is coming up with Rancid and Dropkick Murphys headlining and a bunch of other killer bands. TS and I will be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. Here it is, Kevin Lyman talking about punk rock, talking about the Warped Tour, talking about It's Not Dead. Kevin Lyman on the Dangerous Darren Show. Talking on a telephone with one of my longtime friends, Mr. Kevin Lyman, creator of the Warped Tour. Kevin is also involved in the It's Not Dead Festival, Part 2, Chapter 2, Dropkicks, Rancid. What were some of the challenges of putting this together versus the first one? Was it a little bit easier because you had the first one already in stone and you knew what mistakes you made versus what worked and what didn't work?
Well, first of all, Darren, good to talk to you, and thanks for having me. And it was one of those things with It's Not Dead that it's a fun project because I don't have to do it every year. You know, it's been 2 years since the first one. And the cool thing was Dropkick and Rancid were getting ready to go out on this tour. And Tim Armstrong came out and played with Devil's Brigade. And he hung out with the Interrupters at the first one. And he talked to Stormy and was like, you know, see if Kevin wants to do it again. So the timing came out right. I'll be done with Warped Tour. The weekend was right. And having those two as an anchor was kind of cool. It allowed me to call people like the Buzzcocks and GBH and, you know, and then, you know, unique things like, you know, just once everyone, we had so much fun last time. It was a genuinely a great energy across the board at that show.
I was there. I was there with Goldfinger, and it was a lot of fun. I remember it being really hot. I remember the camaraderie between all the bands was like an old school Warp show. Everybody was just sharing stories and taking pictures and, you know, tweeting, and it was like Warped Tour with social media, like Warped Tour 96, 97 with social media.
Yeah, and that's what we did. You know, it was like one of those things, and for people that were still drinking, the $5 PBRs went a long ways backstage for that crowd. Just everyone hanging out, barbecuing, and, you know, Pennywise, you know, they're their barbecue, and I had my barbecue, and we all hung out, and it was just, it was a fun place to bring this back because, you know, some people may, you know, have always said, you know, does Kevin still back punk? I love punk rock. And, you know, I did that show purely for my soul. Yes, I guess business-wise it turned out okay, but it wasn't intended. It was just a sense that we're still all a community. We can still all get together and play. You know, getting Descendants of Bad Religion, Pennywise and NoFX on the same show in L.A. doesn't happen. I don't know when the last time we did it. I was short of a Warped Tour many, many years ago. So it was just fun to do it and watching the faces of the people and doing the thing where all the kids got in under 10 free, which we're doing again. It allowed sometimes three generations to come to the show. There was like people in their 50s that were part of the original scene here in Southern California, bringing their kids who might have grown up going to the Warped Tour. And some of them had young children that were hanging out in the Moonbound Zone.
Yeah.
So it was fun.
It was a lot of fun, that's for sure. I've always wanted to know, Kevin, what data do you have that shows if the, you know, the concert goers like the old school bands or the new school bands? And have you ever thought about creating a festival for just old school bands? Punk rock bands, old school punk rock stuff?
I think it'd be really hard. You know, that's the thing. I wish I could tour it. But, you know, touring something like that, you know, on the weekdays, the audience, you know, with jobs, it's hard to get out. You know, that's why even with Warp this year, though, I'm trying to integrate some of that. You know, we got a lot of those bands coming back, whether it's Strung Out, the Adolescents, the Dickies, trying to bring them out on Warp Tour this year for segments. TSOL is doing a segment of the tour. It's kind of a running joke that, you know, the way we run that schedule of Warp Tour, unfortunately, the Adolescents are doing the whole tour this year. So that's pretty brutal. But, you know, getting together on a weekend was a lot of fun. If I could do a bunch of weekends across the country, I think it would work. It's just hard to fill in those Monday through Wednesdays.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine the old school punk rock fans have jobs, have kids, and they want to see the Buzzcocks and GBH, and they want to see all these great bands. But, you know, they're all in their 50s or 60s, and, they got families, and they can't just go out on a Wednesday or Tuesday night, I would imagine.
Yeah, you know, maybe in a few more years, everyone will be retired and we can do that, you know, it was fun. It was, you know, it was more for me kind of also, you know, to show that punk rock is still has a relevant voice and it's still an important music. It's kind of drifted maybe a little bit into the underground in some places, but, you know, it was nice to bring some of the newer bands like the Interrupters and, you know, I tried to go with a completely different lineup this year on It's Not Dead, but the one band I invited back was the Interrupters, because I think they are the voice of the new punk rock. I always say we need new punk rock bands, new bands that could become as popular as Bad Religion and No Effects, or those bands in Rancid and Dropkick. We need bands like the Interrupters. So they're the only band that I'm having back the second time. And I had about a Warped last summer, and they really went over really well.
Yeah, you have Kevin Seconds on as well. Is he doing his acoustic stuff?
He'll come out and do his acoustic stuff at this event, yeah.
Yeah, is there going to be an acoustic area or a stage or just him?
No, he's just going to be up on a stage, just up on a stage.
Yeah, it works.
You know, we've got that big tent, you know, Letha Johnson, Punkswell Red tent, where she's getting quite a list of people going to come out and do book signings. Last year it was awesome. You know, we brought a lot of the photographers, like Ed Clover and all these, the old punk rock poster guys came out, and it was a nice sense of community. And I still think we can, you know, so I thought it was time. I thought it was okay. Let's do a second one.
Yeah. Well, I can't wait to go. The first one was such a thrill. Kevin, I was there in 95 when you started Warped, and to today, 22 years and running it. And you look at the music industry as a whole, you know, and it's changed so much, and it continues to morph and continues to change. When you get together with your people for Warped, do you ever have to look at the changing, shifting sands of the music industry and kind of adapt that to Warped year to year?
I mean, you know, constantly, you know, every week we read about another thing or another way we're doing things, you know, and who knows, you know, does the Warped model still work? I mean, we still do great audiences and great crowds. You know, but is it getting trickier? Are we fragmenting the industry more and more? Is it becoming more of a streaming world where music's borrowed and not, you know, grasped on? And are we going to still have those songs that were so important to us? Like even to this last generation, the A Day to Remembers and those kind of bands, that, you know, will those songs be as long lasting for those kids as now? I don't know. You know, there's a lot of talk right now that, you know, how are we going to help sustain bands? You know, the bands like, you know, you were in Goldfinger or Less Than Jake or Real Big Fish, these bands that have been around 25 years. Will these bands be able to maintain careers like that? I hope so. But we all have to be cognizant that, you know, people now have, you know, Netflix at home. Are they leaving their homes? Do they want to go to shows? Are we a gaming society? When I started Warped Tour, there wasn't 10,000 kids going to watch people play video games. Maybe something I don't understand. Maybe that's generational, but you know, that's a part of the audience that used to be getting into live music that maybe is now just comfortable watching people play video games.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really weird. You know, Kevin, I always wanted to ask you, I've known you for, you know, 22 years or about that time. And
yeah,
I've had numerous conversations with you on numerous topics, but I've never asked you just that the simple question of what is punk rock to you? What is punk rock to Kevin Lyman?
Punk rock is a spirit. You know, I think, you know, there was this moment in time where, you know, there was a look to punk rock. There's no look to punk rock anymore. You know, I just think punk rock's a spirit in how you live your life. I think, you know, having an opinion is punk rock. I think we got to a point where no one wanted to have an opinion because they were afraid of social media. They were afraid of anyone saying, so they didn't have an opinion. But punk rock was like, I stand for something. You know, and that's really kind of where I'm at in life. I want to work with artists that stand for something. And I'm not necessarily saying anti-government or anything, but stand for something in your life and be willing to debate it, converse with it, and move on. And, you know, like I said, you know, some people go, you know, I say Katy Perry, when I first met her, she was as punk rock as anyone I knew.
Yeah.
You know, it's just what's in your soul and what in your heart. And, you know, the only punk rock person in the world that I really, really know is Dwayne Peters.
But, yeah.
You know, we all have to hold ourselves up. If you really just want to talk about the epitome of the true punk rock person out there, that's Dwayne Peters.
What punk rock band, what's the first punk rock band you heard that you were like, okay, this is what I want to get into. Like, what's that one band, whether it was before 95 or when you were a kid that you heard, whether it was The Clash or the Dead Kennedys, who was that one punk rock band that got you into the punk rock music?
For me, really, but, you know, I got in a little bit, you know, I was in college kind of when I got into it, and it was TSOL. You know, I think, I was trying to think about it the other day. And then getting to almost go to work in punk rock as I was learning about it. You know, those early days of Golden Voice, I was working in the world of the Blasters and Lone Justice. I was working in that world. And then when they did some co-promotes with Golden Voice, and I kind of shifted over and started running Golden Voice shows, I was really getting like the education on the front lines to the Dead Kennedys and Circle Jerks and that whole scene, that you know, vibrant, sometimes violent scene of Los Angeles punk. But that, I was like right in the middle of it, learning about it at the same time.
Punk back then, though, Kevin, wasn't it defined by going to shows and having police come smash some skulls and getting punched in the face at a pit or people seeing people fuck or do drugs? It seems like that early definition of, and then obviously the leather and the spikes and when the hair color, that seems to be gone from punk rock, so to speak. And do you think that that's missing a little tiny bit?
Oh, I, you know,
not the violence, obviously not the violence.
I'd be, for me, it'd be, for me, if I was still around, it'd be a little creepy being 57, you know, but, or 56 now, you know, but for me, that was part of it, you know, the Cafe de Grand, Fender's Ballroom, Olympic Auditorium, those shows working there. But I really started listening to what these artists were trying to say. And when you were worried about getting beat up by the lads or the US Skins or the Suicidal, I think sometimes the messages just didn't translate. Like you know, it was great to understand what they were saying, you know, listening to the lyrics. So you'd have to go home and listen to the lyrics. Then you would come to the show and yeah, that energy was fantastic. But it was also, I don't know. And that's what, you know, some people said, like one of the things I did was bringing punk rock out into the sunshine in some ways, because, you know, 90% of the violence at shows were caused by 10% of the people under cover of darkness. That bringing that punk rock, it kind of changed a lot. You know, some people would say I ruined punk rock by bringing it out into the sunshine. But I always thought it opened it up to a wider audience.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Before I let you go.
Still, you know, I'm sure you could go find a cool basement show if you want it. And all those things are still happening.
Yeah, I'm sure all over the world, too. Kevin, what's the biggest thing that you and your team have been thinking about maybe adding to the festivals? I know you do a lot. It's Not Dead and Warped, and you partner up with Rockstar and do a lot of other things. But what's the one thing you've been, or a few things you've been thinking about adding to your festivals based on some of the feedback that you got from fans and or the concert goers?
Well, mostly for me, it's about taking, you know, right now, for me, this is me saying that music brings people together. It's a place, a unifying thing. So going out and doing Mexico City in a couple of weeks with Warped Tour, going over to Japan and working with Creative Man and on their Punk Spring will become Warped Spring next year. Kind of spreading that and helping, you know, adding things to our festivals. I just don't know. I think sometimes there's just too much going on at our festivals. You know, you got 7 stages, you got all these things going on. I think it's almost sometimes too much for the audience in some ways. So it just, refining and trying. I'd love to see a band. I'd love to start seeing people go, you know what? I want to see the Interrupters. I want to see bands like that, you know? And there's some great punk bands out there right now, really cool young punk bands. And, you know, like, you know, we've all talked about during weird political times, we tend to get really cool new punk songs. Do we need a new Anti-Flag album? I don't know, but I bet they'll come up with some great songs coming up here. So I'm looking for, you know, it's always going to be in my heart. You know, nowadays it's funny. I look like, you know, I say I look like every soccer dad going out and whatever, but, you know, I'm still feeling it's as much in my heart as it ever was.
Well, Kevin, I want to thank you really from the bottom of my heart. You've been doing it for a very long time. You're a champion of the genre. You and John Reese and agents like Stormy and Andy and other people out there that are really you know, going out there and finding sponsors and putting together these festivals and growing them and keeping them going. You're keeping the spirit alive. So for that, I just want to say thanks.
Oh, thanks, Darren. You know, it's weird what we say, but, you know, it's interesting that, you know, when I started this tour, it would have been so anti to have sponsors involved in punk rock. And some people would still say that, but in many ways, I've used those sponsors to continue it going through the times when, you know, it hasn't been as popular. And, you know, people like bands helping us and things like that have been great. So it's always great, you know, Darren. And, you know, I don't think you're going to be playing this. It's Not Dead, but it's great to hear that you're going to be out there enjoying it this time.
Yeah, I mean, I'm looking forward. I had such a blast last time, so I'm looking forward to again. This time, I wouldn't have to worry about setting anything up or playing or being around people I don't particularly enjoy. But this is going to be a lot of fun just to come and hang out for It's Not Dead. It is Saturday, August the 26th, 2017 at the Glen Helen Festival Festival grounds. Go to itsnotdeadfestival.com for all the ticketing information. Kevin, thank you again for coming on the show, and I'll see you out there.
Thanks, Darren. I'll see you at the barbecue.
T.S., you going with me?
Oh, hell yeah.
I know you are. I just double-checked.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. Look, this lineup is insane. You've got Rancid, the Dropkick Murphys, the Addicts, Bucko 9, the Buzzcocks, Casualties, Down by Law, the Exploited, GBH.
Never heard of them.
Good Riddance. The Interrupters, Kevin Seconds, Murphy's Law, Off, Reagan Youth, The Selector, The Toasters.
A lot of ska.
Oh my God.
A lot of ska here.
Voodoo Glow Skulls.
I mean,
the U.S. Bombs. Fucking Dwayne Peters out there.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. And then we're just going to have like full access.
Oh, yeah.
We'll be at the barbecue just drinking. Hopefully there'll be a Dodger playoff game. Then we'll leave a little bit early like we did last year. It'll be a lot of fun. So thanks for coming on the show. The date again is August the 26th. It's Not Dead Part 2. Glenn, Helen, Grounds, and San Bernardino, Rancid, Dropkicks, and a host of other great punk rock bands. The address to go to, a checkout times and ticketing information is www.itsnotdeadfestival.com. Got it?
Yeah.
Good.
I'm in.
Gonna come back and gonna drink some more Motorhead. Gonna maybe have another shot of Jaeger. You got some kind of smoothie there that you haven't even touched
yet. Oh, yeah, you know, this is my second little smoothie here.
You got a bunch of weed on the table. I don't know what's going on. It's complete anarchy here.
Yeah.
Hang tight.
See you.
iDobe Radio. iDobe Radio.
It is a dangerous, motherfucking dangerous, motherfucking dangerous, motherfucking Darren show. Brought to you by the good folks of Amplified Ales and the Motorhead IPA. We're running low, buddy.
We are here.
There's anything left?
There's a little bit left.
Really?
We've got a little bit left.
Oh, thank God.
All right. Oh, fuck, man.
Dude. You all right?
Yeah.
Okay, just wipe it on
your cock.
Just
wipe it on my pants. I spilled Motorhead IPA on my...
Well, if you're going to break your iPad, Lemmy should do it.
Yes, absolutely. Cheers.
Cheers. Dude, Lemmy can do no wrong. Lemmy can literally come into my house and fuck my girlfriend. And I'd be like, well, all right. He's like, you got to watch, mate. I'm like, all right, I'll watch you fuck my girlfriend. And then he blows it all over. He's like, you got to clean it up, too. I'm going out to the rainbow. I'd be like, all right, let me bye. Thanks for coming. And she's crying with joy, tears of joy. Lemmy just gave me 15 orgasms. I'm like, I'm so happy for you, baby. She's like, can you get a towel? Like a big one, because it's like a huge load. Lemmy doesn't have little loads.
Sprayed everywhere.
He's like a fire hose. He's like Peter North times five.
The legend.
He
took all those pointers from Ron Jeremy.
Lemmy can do no wrong in my mind. What's going on? Did you know, T.S., here's a good one. Did you know that the smell of freshly mowed lawn is actually the smell of each and every blade of grass trying to heal itself from the traumatic injury you caused when you cut it in half?
What?
When it's healing, when blades of grass are healing, they release a scent.
So they're bleeding.
Yeah, they're dying. Yeah, well, they're not dying, but they're healing.
Okay.
They're moaning.
They regrow.
They're moaning. They're like, oh my God, it fucking hurts.
I can't believe you. You cut me in half.
I must heal now. Yeah, so that scent that you smell when you go to a golf course or when you're mowing your lawn, that heavenly, beautiful, fresh cut is the smell of grass healing itself. That's a good one, buddy. That's a good one. I don't know if you're going to be able to beat that.
Don't worry.
I'm feeling pretty good about myself right now.
I got this.
All right.
The medical name... hold on. Let me back this up. Did you know, #did you know, the medical name for the butt crack is the intergluteal cleft. The intergluteal cleft.
Oh, I wish we had someone else here. I wish Dina was here because she'd be able to give us a tiebreaker. That's pretty good. But people always want to know, like, cool stuff. And that's pretty cool. I don't know. I'm going to call it a tie, T.S.
Okay. I'll call it a draw.
Cheers.
Like soccer.
The game. What a great game it was here in Manchester against Chelsea and the Manchester United. It was a thrilling 0-0 game that lasted 4 hours.
East Hollywood versus West Hollywood in a nil-nil tie for the playoffs.
Everybody here leaving the arena, all 85,000 of them, are extremely happy.
The results in nil-nil. Cheers.
Cheers. Let's play some music.
Oh, yeah, let's do some music.
Speaking of drinking, finally, we're drinking this Amplified Ale Motorhead IPA. Let's drink and listen to drinking music. I mean, Dropkick Murphys are headlining It's Not Dead, along with our friends in Rancid. And it's a classic song. It's a classic Dropkick Murphy song. It's a song called Barroom Hero. I mean, there's so many. There's Kiss Me, I'm Shitface. There's Shipping Out to Boston. But this one, I just love this song. It's a sing-along. It's got a lot of oi-ois in it. It's just amazing. It's Dropkick Murphys and Barroom Hero. It's right on the Dangerous Darren Show. Turn it up.
Face down in the gutter, won't admit defeat, though his clothes are soiled and black. He's a big, strong man with a child's mind. Don't you take his booze away.
This one goes out to the Kenmore Brotherhood. Long live the skating days.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. This one goes out to Team Sheridan. Long live the skating days. Dun, 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 dun. This one goes out to the skating of the white boys. Long live the Buffalo skating teams.
Ah, cheers.
Do we know anybody who drank so much that they were just like a ballroom hero in Buffalo?
Probably. We probably do.
I mean, we drank a lot, but we smoked weed. We did some drugs. Like, we weren't, like, drunks.
I don't think so.
A fair amount, but we weren't, like, brutal.
We'll have to go back and do some research.
I think Ralph Dunlop was a drunk. Joe Greaser liked to put him away. Who else?
Who else on the skate team?
Frank wasn't a drunk. Joe Slither, Carlson wasn't a drunk. Jeremy McPhail, I don't think he ever drank. I think it was Straight Edge.
Well, a lot of us were Straight Edge,
Ben
too.
Wall was Straight Edge. Who else was over there? I don't know. But
I'm like a reformed Straight Edge.
But then again, we weren't from Boston.
No. No.
If we were in Boston, that would have been a couple levels up.
Absolutely.
We probably would have been drunk.
They drink it like a pilot's level.
I'm sure those guys knew a few drunks. Hey, I got an Urban Dictionary for you. T.S., ready?
I'm ready. What do you got?
What are... You know what an in-law is when you're, you know,
yeah.
in-law.
Mm-hmm.
What's an alt-law, A-L-T?
An alt-law.
Alt-law.
I'm going to say that's like your baby's daddy's mom.
No, an good guess, though. An alt-law, A-L-T-law, alt-laws are in-laws that are Trump supporters. They're alternative. They're on the side.
Okay.
We'll pay them no mind.
Okay. Might have some. Might have some.
Let's take a break. Let's come back. We got some weed news. We got some music news. And I'm going to assault TS with a sharp weapon.
Oh, I just want to drink my smoothie, man.
Sorry, buddy. It's how it has to happen. I don't make the rules, dude.
iDobe Radio.
Welcome back to the Dangerous Darren Show on iDobe Radio. Hit us up on Twitter and on Instagram at DangerousD_show. I am at Darren99 on Twitter. TS is at Burn H Wood Burn. Also on Instagram, Linus DeMilo, DeMilo. And I am at Darren Pfeiffer. And on Facebook as well, follow us. We'll follow you back. Or like us, we'll like you back. /? Yeah, /. The Dangerous Darren Show. So music news, TS, the New Found Glory punk rock band. You ever heard of them?
Yeah.
Good friends
of
mine.
Yes, I have.
And Cyrus is playing drums in Goldfinger right now.
Really?
Spin the drumming wheel. Who's next? Who knows? They have announced another swing and string of dates that fall. This coming fall for 2000... Let me try that again. Punk rock band New Found Glory have announced another string of dates this fall for their 20th anniversary tour. They've been a band for 20 years. New Found Glory, getting old. Tickets are on sale now for a round of tickets. New Found Glory released Makes Me Sick back in 2017. So we got some new music out and a new tour from New Found Glory. I like these guys. They're good kids.
Yeah. Can we get one on? We could probably
get one on.
That's
a good question. Probably Chad, a guitar player, who's a friend of mine. Or Cyrus. We'll get him on. Ask him, hey, how's it playing Goldfinger? What's it like? I'm being a dick. Of course he is. Prophets of Rage, Unfuck the World, have released a video for their song Unfuck the World. The video was directed by Michael Moore, who you may remember directed the video for a Rage Against the Machine song, Sleep Now in the Fire. Unfuck the World will be the band's self-titled album, which will be released on September 15th, 2017.
Yeah, because they put out an EP, and it was like some originals and then like some mashups of all the bands.
Yeah, I think they're cool.
Yeah,
I like what they're doing there. And yeah, the Descendants are going to Europe. So if you're listening in the UK or in Europe somewhere, watch out. The Descendants have some European dates coming up. For the full dates, go to hypercaffeumspazinate.com and check out the dates. There you go. Descendants on tour.
Out in Europe. Go see them.
They're a great rock band. You got weed news?
I do.
I don't have a song ready to TS, so I'm just going to do something a cappella.
All right. Let me hear it. Warm up. Get after it. Clear it out.
TS has weed news. TS is full of shit and weed news. It's all shit and weed news.
Yeah, thank you. That was beautiful.
Thanks, buddy.
Weed news.
Hashtag, beautiful and terrible at the same time.
Hashtag weed news. How long does weed stay in your system? The answers might shock you.
News at 11.
Well, for one-time use, just one single time, it can stay in your system for 5 to 8 days. 2 to 4 times a week, 11 to 18 days. 2 to 4 times per month, 23 to 35 days. And if you use 5 to 6 times per week, which is pretty heavy, is 38 to 48 days. And if you're a daily user, like somebody I know.
Gee, I wonder.
I don't know who it is. 49 to 63 days. You know, all these factors kind of depend on your metabolism, but THC does stick to fat, which I have a nice doughy layer of.
So basically what you're saying on this weed news, TS, that when you die, you could be dead for several decades and they dig your body up and find it and be able to test you for...
I would test positive.
You test positive, yeah.
For high THC content and cannabinoids.
So if you quit Let's say you quit.
Okay.
And 6 months goes off the calendar, there's still weed in your system.
I'm going to say there probably is.
Wow. Okay. So if I smoked right now, by the end of the day, it's out. Like, it's out, gone.
No. Up to 5 days.
Oh, 5 days.
Yeah.
It's not hours, it's days.
No, unless you have like a crazy fast metabolism and you work out, maybe you're an athlete, a professional athlete.
Well, I am a professional athlete.
Oh, all right.
And I shit twice already today.
Okay, well, you're probably going to be in the closer to 4 days.
Okay, 3 or 4 days.
Three or four days.
But you're...
I'm going to say 5 days.
You're 5 months.
I'm like a 5 months.
All right.
So this is actually a really common question that people ask me because of work and not...
I want to smoke, but I'm worried about my job.
Yeah, not everybody is protected, even though they're medical marijuana patients. In many states, we don't have protection for being tested. So if something happens at work and you happen to be drug tested, you are going to test positive. And this can have serious repercussions for you. You could lose your job.
Mm.
You could lose your benefits. All kinds of things can happen. So really, we need to structure some laws and some ordinances that will help medical marijuana patients be exempt from being tested for marijuana, because it is medicine.
For some people.
For some people. Right. You know, it's hard to say. Corporate America is probably not going to get on board with this. But, you know, the easiest way to test for marijuana is urine, which is going to stay in your system for a long time. Saliva, which is what they're testing now to try to get you a DUI for marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to swab your mouth, which, you know, a single use can stay in your system versus on a swab for 24 hours, frequent use 72 hours, and chronic use 1 week. Wow. But if I'm using every single day, then obviously it's going to be in my system with a swab test.
Yeah, well, now you know. And knowledge is power.
That's right.
So if you're going to smoke, be aware, depending on the job. If you work at Starbucks, you're probably fine.
You're probably cool.
If you work at IBM or Apple, Apple probably would be pretty cool. But if you work at some super like conservative job, you might want to learn the guidelines
and
approach with caution. Good stuff, TS.
All right. Thank you very much.
I'd like to close up the show right now. Kevin Lyman, thank you for coming on the show, my friend. You've been on a few times. You're a good dude. Really appreciate that. It's Not Dead Festival, August 26th at Glen Helen Grounds there in San Bernardino. We got a lot of great bands there. Rancid are on. Dropkick Murphys are on. Buzzcocks, Interrupters, who I love. And get tickets at www.itsnotdeadfestival.com. Again, hit us up on Twitter and on Instagram at dangerousd_show. TS, hit him up on Twitter at BurnHWoodBurn and on Instagram at Linus DeMilo, DeMilo. And I'm on Twitter at Darren99. Thanks to SD Electronics. Thank you to Roland_US. That's Twitter at Roland_US. Thanks to our friends at Amplified Ales for the Motorhead IPA. It was absolutely delicious. TS, to your friend. One more. I think I have a little bit left in there. To your friend.
To Joff. Cheers. Joff.
Next week, we have Stephen Jenkins, singer, songwriter for Third Eye Blind. Do, 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 do.
Classic 90s.
Classic. 90s pop rock. I mean, he sang about drugs.
Yeah. It could be better than that.
I think he still does drugs.
Well,
you'll see in the interview. Trust me. Okay.
I can't wait.
He's a good guy. And I just love, I mean, they have so many great songs like Jumper and Graduation and Third Eye, and what's it, Semi-Charmed Life. I mean, they just wrote hits. And they got into a fight with Green Day once.
Does he tell that story?
He does.
Oh, awesome. Okay.
It's a good interview. You'll hear it.
We'll get the dirt.
So thanks for coming on. Again, hit us up on Twitter and Instagram at DangerousD_show, TS at BurnHWoodBurn on Twitter, and I'm at Darren99. Thanks again to Kevin Lyman. Thanks to the good folks at Amplified Ales, the good folks at SC Electronics, Roland at King's Corner 99, and smoke them if you got them.
Yeah, stay trippy, motherfuckers.
Woo!